Welcome to On Target. It's what's in the grooves that count. I'm Maude Marty, and I've got a special show for you today. I'm going to be giving you an introduction to Mod Revival. I've got a whole bunch of Mod Revival records that I've been collecting for quite a long time. Some of the mod traditionalists don't really dig the late 70s Mod Revival stuff, but like all kinds of music, everyone's taste is individual. Back in 73, The Who were recording Quadrophenia after their huge success with their operatic album Tommy. They wanted to get back to their roots, and The Who were really one of the mod bands in the 1960s, and Pete Townsend had a story to tell. He told the story of Jimmy Cooper, a young mod in the 1960s who was stuck in the paradox of mod, which is trying to be an individual but also trying to be a part of something. The mod movement was very exclusive. You really had to follow the trends and follow the rules in order to be an ace face, and the only way to be included was to be individual. Be a leader in both fashion and the type of scooter that you rode. Well, people like Paul Weller were really digging the mod thing in the early 70s and feeling very alone. And when Quadrophenia came out, they had something to latch on to. Paul Weller formed The Jam. They started dressing like The Who and playing raw guitar, bass, drums, rock and roll music. This is before punk had influenced anything, really. Punk was still in its toddler age, and despite the fact that The Jam got lumped into that punk movement, they were doing something very, very unique. And there were a whole bunch of bands that followed. The Lambrettas, Secret Affair, The Chords, Less Than Zero, and the two crossed over quite a bit, actually, with bands like The Buzzcocks, The Undertones, even The Clash. I'm going to start the set out with an homage to the 1960s TV show Ready, Steady, Go. That was a very important show for mods. It was where you showcased your latest dances, your latest fashions, and to young kids in England at the time, it was the thing to watch on a Friday night, and if you were lucky enough to be on a Friday night. The Weekend Starts Here was their byline, and that was true for so many mods. And in the 70s, especially in England, especially in the late 70s, when Margaret Thatcher came into power, people were hanging on to those better times. And a young Billy Idol and his band, Generation X, paid tribute to Kathy McGowan and Ready, Steady, Go.
In love with the radio. I'm not in love with
Started that set off with Ready Steady Go by Generation X on Chrysalis. And after that, I did a twofer of Secret Affair on iSpy Records. The first song was called Time for Action, and the second song, Let Your Heart Dance. Secret Affair were one of the main mod revival bands, and they didn't really like being called mods, even though they were absolutely mods. They tried to rebrand the mod name by calling themselves the Glory Boys, and they wanted everybody who followed them to be the Glory Boys, but that didn't take at all, probably mostly because the girls felt left out, I can imagine. Also, you know what? You can't take a chicken and call it a duck, right? I think I'm going to do a few of those double ups today. I've got a lot of 45s from this era and a lot of music I want to play for you. I was lucky enough when I was working at the mod club in Vancouver, a gentleman came in and said he was selling his Mod Revival record collection and asked if anybody wanted to buy it. And funnily enough, the other two DJs that I was working with there, DJ Lee Modern and DJ Skeptic, were not interested. They felt above it all. So what it meant was I got to pick everything that I wanted. So I got a lot of jam, I got a lot of two-tone, I got a lot of Lambrettas, Secret Affair, Merton Parkas, Untouchables, a whole bunch of really, really great stuff. So I'd like to play as much of that as I can in this hour. And remember, I am playing on 45. There are going to be pops and cracks, but that's all part of the fun, right? Well, I started out talking about the jam and how important the jam are, so I'm going to play a couple of jam tracks, starting off with one of my absolute favorites, which is named after the book Absolute Beginners, which is a book about the beginning of mod, that time when the jazz fans in London were developing a style that would eventually become mod. The book's by Colin McGuinness. He did a series of books about London in the 60s, but Absolute Beginners is a vital, vital book for anybody interested in the roots of mod. And obviously, Paul Weller was one of those people, and this is how he interpreted it.
I'm
I started off that set with Absolute Beginners by The Jam and followed it with their cover of So Sad About Us, both on Polydor. So Sad About Us is a Who song, and they do such a great cover of it I had to play. The last track I played in that set was by The Flaming Groovies, a track called Please Please Girl on the Sire label. Okay, I'm going to keep this train rolling with a bit of the punk influence. These guys were best known for their track Teenage Kicks. But I'm going to show you how they have their sound, they fit in really well with what was going on in the late 70s, early 80s, and yet they paid homage to Northern Soul by doing a cover of Got to Have You Back. See what you think.
Must be
You are listening to 101.5 UMFM, and this is On Target. I'm Maude Marty, your host, and I am playing you all vinyl, all of my 45 collection. Today we are doing Maude Revival, something very different from my show. Usually I'm mostly soul, with a little bit of garage, psych, maximum R&B, northern soul. If you're a regular listener, you know what I play usually, but this is a bit of a detour for me. That being said, I think the stuff is great. If you're anything like me, when it comes to Maude, I'm interested in all things Maude. I don't shy away from acid jazz, jazz, Hammond groove, yeah yeah, go-go, boogaloo, even this Maude Revival stuff that borders Maude with punk, and even pop in some cases. And as you'll find out in the next little bit, it bridges punk, Maude, and ska. But before we get to that, I'm going to play you some Merton Parkas and then the Lambrettas. Band names don't get much more Maude than that.
Nothing thin, a top speed, no one will see it but does. That's a pint, and that ain't gross.
You need wheels if you wanna make deals. You need a top if you wanna get high. A man ain't a man with a ticket in his hand. If you wanna get a job, you need wheels.
Set when streets front and rear, all the latest things that even push you a bit. A payment plan that's so unique. 500 now and the rest that's weak.
You need wheels if you wanna make deals. You need a top if you wanna get high. A man ain't a man with a ticket.
Got white cloth ties with a Mazda chrome. The home plays a tune, got a wonderful tone. A 7-band radio stereogram. Only one owner, but it wants the man.
You need wheels if you wanna make deals. You need a top if you wanna get high. A man ain't a man with a ticket. You need wheels.
You can't tell me that you're not dancing around the room. That music is dance-worthy music. I started off with the Merton Parkas with a song called You Need Wheels. And after that, Put Me in the Picture. Both of those tracks are on Beggar's Banquet. And then I played the Lambrettas. Dance is the name of that song. It's on a great picture disc that has the Union Jack on one side and the Brighton Pier on the other side before it burnt down. And I followed that with a track called Poison Ivy, another cover. And the reason why I played you that is so that I can play you this.
Really for me was the first time that I felt really comfortable about being black and Asian and British at the same time in one space.
The Specials brought it all together. Instead of black and white bands on the same bill, there were black and white musicians in the same band. An informal collective of young musicians, keener on dancing than marching, but just as eager to reject a racist future.
Here you had this whole generation of kids, black and white kids, who'd grown up side by side in schools and listening to each other's music. And I mean, Two Tone, as far as I'm concerned, was an experiment waiting to happen.
Instead of awkward attempts to mix rock and reggae, there was about to be a new sound. The energy of punk brilliantly fused with reggae's faster ancestor, ska. The Specials and Two Tone were born in Coventry. Gangsters was the first Two Tone single, launching a new look. A mix and match of clothes once worn by skinheads, mods and rude boys. And with it, a new ska punk sound.
It wasn't until The Specials that you actually had a black and white band taking that basic ska sound and giving it a harder rock edge and just making the lyrics all about the way we were living and stuff. It just seemed absolutely right, and it really took off very, very fast.
I hope you've been enjoying the show so far. We had a bit of a two-tone set there, starting off with Rank and Full Stop by The English Beat, and then The Specials, Nightclub, and after that, James Bond by The Selector, all on the two-tone label. I have a whole bunch of two-tone records that I got from this guy in Vancouver, and this is an integral part of that 1979 mod revival scene. Two-tone was the biggest label in the UK at the time. Anybody who was recording for two-tone were getting offers from every label there was. They were touring all over the country, and they were groundbreaking in their use of punk and ska mixed together with lyrics that had everything to do with what was going on in the country at the time. Teenage angst, unemployment, rioting. I mean, Ghost Town, for instance. An incredible, incredible song. Probably Jerry Downer's masterpiece, but was so on the nose with what was going on in the UK at the time. I mean, Stand Down Margaret was maybe a little too obvious, but still a great song. And of course, Free Nelson Mandela, which brought Nelson Mandela into the public conscience when before nobody really knew what was going on with him. The mod bands were crossing over into the ska. The ska bands were pulling from mod. They were pulling from skinhead culture. Punks and skinheads and mods were at each other's throats, to be honest, not really knowing how each was influencing the other. I'm going to play a little bit more ska for you. Clear the furniture away so when you're skanking you don't knock anything over, because you're going to want to skank to this.
One step beyond.
You're listening to 101.5 UMFM, and this is On Target. Thank you very much for indulging me on this little trip down memory lane for myself. This music had a lot to do with my youth and my involvement in the mod scene. And honestly, if it wasn't for these guys, perhaps the whole mod thing might have died out a long time ago. So it's a good thing that these bands were out there doing what they were doing, keeping the flame alive. I thank them for that. I thank you for listening. I'm going to leave you off with the band that started it all, one of the most important mod bands of the 1960s, and the band that brought mod back with Quadrophenia. This is from the soundtrack of Quadrophenia off of this Polydor 45. This is 515 by The Who. See you next week.
Why should I care?